Welcome to The Creationist, a podcast about people who create. I'm your host, Steve Waxman. Whether you're aware of it or not, we all tell stories in our daily lives. Some are just the mundane answers to the question, "What did you do today?" But others are the stories that we use to try to convince people of something. Whether it's a salesperson presenting a product or an artist doing an interview, there's a story to convey, and the best way to tell that story is with authenticity. But not everyone is comfortable sharing their stories, and in some cases, they don't think they even know what the story is. Aaron Rodgers is a story coach, someone who helps clients get to the authenticity of their story and then coaches them on their presentation. If someone you know has a hard time expressing themselves, Aaron might be able to help. Have a listen. So, Aaron, how would you describe what you do?
What I do, I would say the simplest thing is I help people find and share their stories, whether that's an individual wanting to tell the story of themselves to their family or someone wanting to do a keynote in front of thousands of people. What I do is find the extraordinary in the ordinary, I think is the best way to describe it.
Okay, so now what's your story?
My story is I would describe myself as a professional weirdo. I was always the strangest kid. I was always the youngest kid and the weirdest kid. And so I've spent my time kind of observing people because I never fit in. Mm-hmm. So I spent my whole life as a child trying to be like, okay, there's got to be an equation. There is a way for me to be normal. Turns out there wasn't. And honestly, that's not like something I want anymore, but it made me such an excellent observer and a person that asked a lot of questions. And so all the stuff that used to get me in trouble as a kid, that's now my job, which is, I'm living the dream, my friend. It's very exciting. So yeah, I was undiagnosed with ADHD. It turns out recently, also I'm autistic. I was queer and I didn't know it. I would say my story is slowly discovering things about myself. And that's why I think I'm so good at helping clients find things about themselves that they didn't know, either that they didn't know at all or that was there that they thought was normal, which is incredible.
Okay. Can we dig a little bit deeper then into when I asked you how to describe what you do, rather than talking in generalities?
Yes.
Specifically, what do you do for people?
Fantastic. Okay. So what I do is people hire me to help find stories to use in speeches and to use in presentations. I've helped people with solo shows. It's to find those moments that they want to share with people. Because like to get into the science of it, if you share a story, people are going to remember you at a much higher level than they will with numbers. Number people remember numbers, but that's a small percentage of people. So I help people find those stories that help them with lobbying, that help them with like getting an audience on their side. It's all of that sort of stuff. And so what I do is I sit down with them either online or in person. I ask them a bunch of questions. Either they come with something already and I ask them a bunch of questions or we form it. Like, honestly, Steve, I've had people half an hour before we were supposed to meet call me in tears being like, I have nothing. I'm so sorry. I'm going to waste your time. Like, no, you're not. Let's ask some questions. And those are often people who have some of the most amazing stories. So I think really what my job is to listen and ask questions and ask. I do what you do, what you just did now. Like, let's get more specific. Let's really get into it and find those moments because life isn't, you know, doesn't have a beginning, middle, and end. I love narrative, but life is all over the place. And so we find the beginning, middle, and end of what people want to share. And so that, I think, is the key to my job is both finding those moments with people and also finding the best way to share. Like, what are the moments? What are the ideas? How did it make you feel? Basically, 70 to 90% of my job is getting people to say how they feel and like let the audience feel it. So how you feel joy and how I feel joy are probably two different things. And if the audience is able to experience the joy the way you feel it, so how it feels in your body, it's as if they're experiencing it themselves.
Okay. Well, okay. So storytelling can be used in a lot of different ways. And when you talk about the audience, I'm thinking that most people are thinking that you're talking about a performer on a stage. But stories, telling stories can be used in other circumstances as well as one-to-one circumstances one-to-one situations in which a person can try to make a point in a situation, whether it's, you know, an awkward thing they have to tell an employee, or if they are making a presentation to a group of people. So when you're trying to find the story that these people want to tell, do you, performers aside, let's talk about business people.
Sounds
Do you take into account first the goal they are trying to attain to try and figure out what the right story would be for them to tell?
Usually one of the first questions I ask, the first question I ask people is, how can I be most helpful to you? And so depending on who it is, I've had business people that are like, I want to dazzle an audience. And I've had them say, what I want to do is sell a thing. So I will say, when I use the word audience, you're right. A lot of people, when they think of audience, they think of it as a certain way. I've been a performer most of my life. So to me, sort of, for better or worse, everyone's an audience, because we're all experiencing each other. Since I can't read your mind, we're all sort of an audience to each other. But yes, one of the other questions I ask in my first like big three questions is, what do you want to get people who are listening to you? What do you want them to get out of what you're saying? What is the most important thing? Because if it is just to have them laugh at your jokes, that's very different from, I want them to open up their wallets and, put money towards like a product I have, or I want them to be on my side politically. Very different.
And have you dealt with all of those situations?
Oh yeah. And it's been super fun. I love doing different, like I often, my specialty or what I focus on is a communication. So you want to get a new idea out there. So that has been, that does cover a lot of things, but that is, so I've worked with National Engineering Month. They wanted to let people know that there was space for them. There's space for all kinds of people to be engineers and technologists, because engineers are brilliant at what they do. They know everything. They speak like engineers. And so if you're like a regular person like me, who let's say had to take business math in school, which had textbooks that were 20 years out of date, and one of the kids in my class set fire to their desk, you might not be a person that understands when they're talking mathematically. So that was my big focus, is how can we talk to just regular people or people who don't know that maybe there's a space for them. So it can be people that like really understand math and science and that sort of stuff, but to show what is possible through stories. But I do work with people who are selling as well. My focus tends to be like, how can we communicate that idea? It's not like, we're going to do this sale, I'm going to make sure you're making $1 million by next Tuesday. It's, what is the gap in communication? And what do people need to know? And are people saying something? Like, is there something missing that they're telling you? How can we use story to get there? And let them know who you are. Because in my opinion, the best way to get someone to buy from you is to have them connect with you. If I like you, I'm more likely to purchase from you. I'm more likely to follow along with you.
So do you generally focus more on personal stories than product stories?
Yes, but honestly, product stories are very personal, in my opinion, because any product has people behind it. Nothing is separated from people. So the product stories are often, how are you going to help people? Or how did this product come together based on what was the people in the garage who created it? It's like the product itself is fantastic, but why do you buy one type of ketchup versus another type of ketchup that kind of tastes very similar? It's probably because you have some sort of connection with people. Your grandma used to put that on fries for you. So it's the stories around, it's the people around it to me that make people want to buy something and people loyal to something.
It's been my experience when I'm talking to people that it's easy for them to tell stories about other people, but it's really difficult for them to tell stories about themselves. And when you're talking about product stories being a personal story, I can see how difficult it would be for a salesperson or a marketing person to, because they're so close to the product, not mm-hmm. be able to see their actual personal connection to it apart from what it means for them in terms of their career.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that is one of the things that's most exciting about what I do, is that I feel like it was probably my grandmother that had this expression where it was, fish don't know water's wet. So if you're in something all the time, it's just natural to you. You don't even think about it. And so what I often do is go in and ask, well, why did you do this? Who was involved? All of these start things. And as soon as people start to think about it, especially if it's a product you've been around for a long time, you're still excited about it, but you've forgotten that very beginning, like, oh, wow, remember this? Oh, remember when like this happened? Because this isn't a real example exactly, but it's similar to a real example. One time, Steve spilled a bunch of stuff on his pants, and then we had to have a better paper towel because Steve was about to like go and have like a cool date. So we had to make sure that we had the best kind of paper towel. And we realized that if we put this and this together, that would be a better paper towel. Like, it's those real things, the things that people are almost like a little embarrassed about mm-hmm. that people connect with. And so once you start asking them questions, once you start getting them talking about it, you watch a room bubble over with all these ideas that people have either forgotten or they're like, I mean, maybe that's a little weird. So I think that's the other thing, Steve, as someone who is like deeply weird, when you let people be weird because you're weird, it is amazing what happens. Like the magic that you see of when people's, their shoulders go down, they just like their faces almost open up when they start sharing and everyone's like piling stuff on, or if it's just one person, as soon as they feel comfortable, it's amazing the stories that come out. Cause you're right. It's so much, I can tell stories. If I go into a room, like I can tell a story about how everyone I know in there is an amazing person. And I famously do. A friend of mine was like, I love going into a party an hour after you've been there because people will be like, aren't you the person that blah, blah, blah. She's like, I don't have to do any work. You've already said everything about me. Cause I love to, and I know I'm not the only one. I love talking about my friends. I love celebrating other people, but it being yourself can be scary. Mm-hmm. But if you give people that space, when other people enjoy those stories, then it starts building and building and it becomes a fun thing.
So most people have performance anxiety. I'd like to think that that's not the case, but it is the majority of people have performance mm-hmm. anxiety. So how do you go about helping people tell their story in an authentic way?
That is a great question. And honestly, when I wish I had an answer to 20 years ago, because my anxiety in general used to be so bad. There's an apartment, and like, I apologize to my landlord of this apartment, that had fingernail scratches of me pushing myself out the door because my anxiety was so bad. I couldn't go into bright grocery stores. There were all these different things. And so I've come up with a lot of, not just me. Therapists, books, friends, and myself have come up with different practical things to help. And often what it is what is it that's scaring you? And what is it that makes you feel the most comfortable? Like if you had a dream of the most perfect, like I can wave a magic wand and you go in front of people, what are the things that would make you feel comfortable? And how are the ways that we can trick your brain into having that? So I would love to tell you a couple of ones that I do already is I go to the dollar store, I buy little eye stickers. When I used to be doing a lot of Zoom storytelling shows, because that was all that was available, I actually put eyes on my the top of my screen because it felt more like I was talking to a person and less like I was talking to space. Because for a while, that was very anxiety producing for me. It's also, I make a list. I plan out my day. If I'm going to be doing something like a presentation, especially if I'm brand new at it. The first time I taught a storytelling for business workshop, I had planned out my day. I'm going to have tea at this time. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to do these things that make me feel great. And then I'm going to go in with that energy as if I've just had the best day ever. And that helps a whole lot. And so it's mostly asking questions and finding what works for that individual person, because everyone's a little bit different.
What's the biggest mistake most people make when telling a story?
I think they try too hard. I think a lot of times people really want to be, they want to be the most funny, or they want to be, the best way to tell a story is to be yourself. That's what everyone wants to see in a storytelling audience, is they want to experience who you are. So I know we're not just talking about a storytelling audience, but because they're focused on seeing storytelling, I've learned so much about every interaction from a storytelling audience. And one of the things I noticed after running shows for like a decade and doing a lot of different kind of performance is, in different types of performances, like if I saw a sketch comedy show, people on the audience in the audience will have a good time. They'll have had so much fun. And the people on stage will have that feeling where they feel seen. It's almost, it can be like a high for people. In a storytelling audience, it's not just the people on stage that feel seen and feel heard. You watch them. One of my favorite things, and this is like, not the greatest thing that I'll admit, but I always sneak a peek when I'm in the audience of a storytelling show to look at everyone, because you'll watch them. Their shoulders will go down. They'll lean forward. Their faces will relax. They will feel like comfortable, or they will be experiencing everything with the person. So if the person is going through an anxious moment, it's like a horror movie. People are like, oh, because it's as if they're experiencing it themselves. So if you're yourself, you don't have to worry about being the best performer ever. In fact, sometimes really, really experienced performers are okay storytellers. What you want to do is like, be yourself, have a beginning, middle, and end, and let us see a change. So if it's a product, how has that product changed things for people? How has it changed things for your team? How is it going to change things for the consumer? If it's your personal story, what changed about you? What did you learn? You don't have to do like, what I learned is, but know in your heart how you've changed. Because to me, that's why we as people love stories. That's why I watch movies. Because I want to see people change. Because to me, what storytelling is hope. We love hope. We love to know that if that person changed, we can change too. And so if you show that change, if you're willing to be honest in that way, you're going to crush it.
So you help people find and create the stories that they're going to tell.
Exactly.
Do you also coach them on how to present their stories?
Definitely. Yes. So I have a bunch of different exercises I do. I did improv for over 10 years. I know I'm very cool. Please don't fall in love with me. I asked a lot of people to provide me with a fruit and an emotion. But I have a lot of different exercises that people can do. And a lot of people do come to me, especially people with anxiety. I'm scared about going on stage. What are the practical things I do? How do I move my hands? Like, when should I move my voice up and down? All of that sort of thing. And so with people, often we do two separate things where we work on what's the story itself and how do you want to share that story? What's the best way for you personally? I'm very physical. So a lot of stuff is like hand motions for me and like movement. For some people, they're like, I'm going to really just stand in one spot. A lot of it is going to be my voice and my face. It all depends on the person. So it's finding what works for that person. I feel like what I am a lot of times is like, I'm the person who owns an amazing mirror store. So I'm going to show you what's there that you haven't seen. And I also am a person that's like, is like a tailor that's going to like tailor different things to you. So I guess, yes, I have a mirror store in the back of a tailor shop.
You brought up anxiety. And I was wondering, one of the questions that I had written down here was to ask, how does what you do specifically help people with anxiety?
Well, honestly, part of it is I do a lot of different things of helping people to, what are ways to battle your anxiety? What are ways to go against it? And battle isn't even the right term. How do you take your anxiety and make it a tool for you instead of something you have to fight against? But also, storytelling at its core is a great way to battle anxiety. Because to me, what a lot of anxiety is like, oh my gosh, if you sit in one corner, you will be safe. Don't be too loud. Don't be too big. Don't do too much. Don't bring attention to yourself. You will be unsafe. When people tell stories and they are 100% themselves and it's fine, in fact, often they're celebrated for it, anxiety loses a little bit of its power. And it does every time. And so to me, it is both like, what I do for people with anxiety is like, here are some practical things that you can do. Here are some breathing exercises. Here are some movement exercises. Here are things that practically will help your physical brain and your physical body to deal with those chemicals. But also, what if you really shared yourself? Anxiety is going to lie to you and tell you you're not good enough or you're too weird or whatever it is. And if you show it by being vulnerable, suddenly it is, even if it's just for a little while, it doesn't have the same amount of power that it used to, because you've just shown it that it's a liar. You were authentically yourself. You didn't die. The best thing that ever happened to me is I did a show years ago, and Steve, oh, was it a stinker. I did this sketch show. I went to the Winnipeg Fringe and it did not work. And I had spent hours on it and I had spent money to go there. And the problem was, is it wasn't authentic. I was trying to be someone else. I was trying to do sketch that didn't reflect me. And an audience can smell that. And it does not smell nice. And I was on stage and I had an actual out-of-body experience, which I thought was a metaphor. I felt myself rise out of my body. I felt my arms move. I felt my mouth move. I knew it was an out-of-body experience because I literally went, huh, I didn't know I moved my arms that much. People are right. I do talk with my hands and arms a whole lot. And I felt myself floating above my head. And I had this thought that, like, if I get through this, because at that point I had gone 20 minutes in a sketch comedy show with not a single laugh, not even a like, you know, those ones where people are like, oh, I didn't want to laugh. Nothing. Silence in a big theater. If I don't die, nothing can hurt me in the same way ever. And I will never do this to myself again. I will never present a different version of myself again, because I would rather be myself and suck than be this fake version of myself and still suck. And so it is, there's there. And honestly, I've never tried to do a different version of myself, at least, I mean, not 100%, but at least not on stage. I present myself as I am. And it didn't have that same power. And so I can really, when I tell people that like being vulnerable and being yourself is powerful, I'm not lying. It was so bad trying to be someone else. I literally floated out of my body like a ghost.
You could have used that. You could have told the audience what was happening. They would have traveled with you.
Well, Steve, where were you when I was in Winnipeg? Just live in your life. Yeesh. Build a time machine and tell me.
Oh, my goodness. So you've talked about doing sketch work. You've talked about doing improv. What other performances, what other kind of performing have you done?
I've done stand-up. I had a very ill-gotten attempt at doing pole dancing and burlesque. I actually once took a burlesque class too, because I was like, I should do something that scares me. And I cried. And it was taught by like a wonderful teacher. Her name is Coco Frambois. She's incredible. She was so wonderful through it. She was so supportive. Like, if you get a chance to take a class with her, I highly recommend it. But I don't know if you've ever had the experience of crying where there's mirrors around you. So you just get a 360 of yourself crying, but I don't recommend it. I basically, if there's a type of performance, I have probably tried it. I have failed at many of them. I don't know, maybe there's somewhere that like someone wants to see a burlesque dancer cry, but I don't know of it. But yeah, I've tried a lot of things. I really love the stage. I really love performing. I find it's just so much fun and so interesting and also so terrifying. And I can't do roller coasters because I throw up. So I've got to like find my thrills somewhere.
All right. So for people that are afraid to be creative, suggest one simple creative exercise they could do for themselves today that won't take them very long, but something to kind of loosen up their creative juices.
One of the things I love to do is have people talk about someone or something they love, because it's easy to talk about. Ask a parent to tell you about their kid and how much they, and like something they did. Now, depending on the day, sometimes it's like, ah, my kid, but like just something or someone you love, or if it's a rough day, something that you hate. Just let yourself go, just write freely, and you'll be amazed what you will find. And another thing I often tell people is talk to a friend that you love to talk to. And then pay attention to things that you say where you're like, huh, that's interesting. Because everyone is creative and people have ideas all the time. I'm famous / infamous with both friends and clients for going, oh, that's really interesting. I think that's an article. Oh, I think that's a solo show. And just like whatever you talked about, write it at the top of a page and then make some little notes. You don't have to do anything with it. It's just good for your brain to be creative. And if nothing else, if that like little voice in your head that says you're not creative starts talking up, just like pull up your, whoops, there we go. Ooh, there we go. If you're wondering if I was awkward, there's the proof. But like if that voice starts talking up, be like, look at this piece of paper. I am creative. I did something right now. And if it's a day where you feel completely blocked, put a line on a piece of paper. It didn't exist before, it exists now. Because to me, and to a lot of clients I talk to, that voice says, you can't do anything. You are not creative. Prove it wrong. Show it.
So how do people get in touch with you if they want to have an initial conversation or contact you to find out whether or not what you do is what they need?
Yes. Well, you can go to storystarcoaching.com. And that's probably the best way to get in touch with me. Or you can send me an email at erin@thewheel.ca. I also have an Instagram, which is erin_Rogers, R-O-D-G-E-R-S _story pro, Erin Rogers Story Pro on Instagram. Those are two of the best ways to get in touch with me.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been really interesting, and I think hopefully people will get a lot out of it.
Wonderful. I hope so, too. This has been such a pleasure.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode of The Creationist. If you haven't already, please follow us on your favorite podcast platform to get episodes as soon as they're released. If this is your first time listening, go back to the archives and check out some of our past episodes. You can also follow The Creationist Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Steve Waxman, and I created this podcast.